today. Hello, everybody. This is Josh Price, and you are listening to the Mark Price for Three podcast. Each episode, my dad will be talking NBA basketball, sharing some coaching and instruction, and of course, talking about his faith. Without further delay, here's my dad, Mark Price.
Joining us again is our good friend, Sam Amico. He's been on, maybe the third or fourth time, Mark. I'm not sure how many times, but there's only one guy we go to when we want this inside scoop, and he's had a lot of inside scoop lately. The Cavs just finished the season yesterday, so we now know where we're at in the playoffs. So, Sam, we have a lot of questions for you, but first, how are you?
Hi, guys. I'm doing well. Been obviously a busy season. It went really fast. It seemed like faster than most, and, you know, just glad to still be doing it for the playoffs again for the second straight year, so looking forward very much to that.
There you go.
Well, it was an interesting last day, to say the least. A lot of things going on and a lot of fodder for people to talk about. Let's just put it that way on kind of how things ended with some teams. Your thoughts on kind of what, you know, let's start with the Eastern Conference. Your thoughts on what kind of transpired yesterday and the kind of jockeying that seemed to be going on a little bit for seedings and your take on that.
Yeah, you know, it's been so interesting. Last year, there was a lot of parity in the NBA, but I don't ever remember it coming down to like five or six seeds in each conference being determined on the final day of the season. You know, for me, for the Cavs, starting with them, I really felt like that game Friday, the second to last game at home against the Pacers, was really like a playoff game. Because if they had lost that game, then we'd be talking about them not having probably home court advantage in the first round. And they really, really delivered on that day in a really good game against a pretty good team in the Pacers. So, you know, that to me was their big win. And I didn't think Sunday, their finale against the Hornets, would be that big of a deal. Clearly, the Cavs really didn't either, because they rested Garland and Mitchell and didn't play any of their regulars in the fourth quarter. And you know, when you think about the whole Eastern Conference, with, you know, Milwaukee having been in control of number two for quite some time and then really needing to figure it out there kind of in the last week where they would land, I felt that was real interesting. But to me, if you look at the Eastern Conference, and, you know, always be careful what you wish for, but if you're the Cavs, it's really a best case scenario finishing fourth, because I think most teams, if you ask them who they would have preferred to play in the first round with guaranteed matchup, would be the Orlando Magic, because, you know, they're like the Cavs were last year. A lot of guys who were first time in the playoffs, all their key guys, first time in the playoffs, young team, not experienced, theoretically are kind of happy to be there. You know, they're back after a few years off. This is really kind of a newer roster for them with young players and a newer coach in Jamal Mosley. So yeah, I think it's better that the Cavs finish fourth and have home court advantage against the Orlando Magic than say second against, and then have to play either Philly or the Miami Heat. I just think this is, if you had to pick a team out of the top seven or eight, you know, Orlando would be a team. Now you got to be ready and do all those things and come to play. But if you're talking about, you know, what on paper is the most favorable matchup, I think it's the Magic. I wouldn't want to be the Celtics and having to play, you know, your first round series against the Miami Heat or potentially Philadelphia with Joel Embiid. So I think that's a good matchup for them. I you know, the Knicks are getting, I believe, Indiana. Is that right? Or is it Milwaukee and Indiana, and the Knicks are getting the seven? So the Knicks are going to get the Heat or Philly, whoever doesn't win out of the play-in tournament, assuming Chicago and Atlanta don't get in through the play-in tournament. Right. So I think it's an ideal situation for the Cavs going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Magic do remind you of the Cavs getting their first playoff run last year. Now, the thing that comes into play here, is obviously that's the team the Cavs wanted, that matchup. So is there a little bit added? Because now the Cavs are expected to win. I mean, that anything less than that is kind of a disaster scenario for what's going on right now, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is a situation where there is probably a little bit of added pressure, because if you lose, well, then we've got a lot more to think about and talk about during the off season. You know, if you win and it's, even though it was a Magic, you've taken the next natural step. You know, you made it to the playoffs last year. This year you win a series. And who knows what could happen from there. I actually would like to see, assuming Orlando wins, or I'm sorry, and Cleveland wins and Boston wins, I would probably, as much as the Celtics have played well, I think the Cavs match up better than them than they would with, say, the Knicks in the second round. But obviously that's thinking way ahead, but I just think it was finishing fourth was the ideal scenario. And a lot of people have asked me, you know, why weren't they playing Mitchell and Garland and LeVert, and why didn't they play their starters in the fourth? Yes, it would have been nice to win the Central Division if they had won that game and they got some help and finished second in the East. But I just think that they gave themselves the most favorable possible matchups for both rounds. But as far as Orlando goes, yeah, I mean, they're obviously no joke. You know, you have to take them seriously. They've got good size in Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner and Mo Wagner and Wendell Carter Jr. and Jalen Suggs. Their guards probably going to be first team or second team all defense. So they've got a lot working for them. That's a lot of positive things. You know, you're going to have to show up and play better than you have probably since the All-Star break. The Cavs have been pretty uneven since then. And, you know, some of that has to do with Donovan Mitchell's injury and a few other injuries. But, you know, you look at them, and I said this a couple days ago, when I look at the team I covered since the All-Star break and the team that won 17-18 to kick off the new year, I kind of felt like I was covering two different teams. Right. You know, they just look totally different. But I think that win over Indiana could get them going. And I think if you can beat Orlando and play the way that you were playing, or at least close to it in January, then maybe you're back onto something. You're feeling good about yourself, and you know, anything's possible after that. But yeah, you have to win this series, and I think they will. But you've if not, then there's a lot of things that you're going to be discussing during the offseason, because yeah, this is probably the one, like I said, the one matchup everybody wanted. So you need to take advantage of that.
Yeah, for sure. No question. Just one other question for me from the Eastern Conference side before we kind of jump over to the Western. What's going on with Milwaukee? I mean, to me, they're just an enigma right now, because you look at them. I mean, they made the big trade for Dame. That was going to be the piece to kind of, and it just, from my perspective, and I think just looking at that, something's either not right there or just it's not working. Like, they just haven't played well. You know, I mean, I know they, just like everybody else, you've had guys in and out of the lineup. Middleton's been kind of a no-show most of the season. He's a big piece, but I mean, you still got Giannis and you got Dame. I mean, you know, I figured it'd be kind of head and head against Boston all season, but they've clearly been the lesser team. You know, now can they turn it on in the playoffs? I don't know. But the way they've kind of fallen here the last so, it seems like something's not working there. You hearing anything out of Milwaukee and what's going on there?
Yeah, I agree. It's been a strange type of deal there with, you know, when they made the trade for Lillard, you thought, well, that's going to put them right there with the Celtics and in contention, and certainly they could still get it together and do that, but it's kind of strange. You know, this is a team that made a bizarre coaching change, really, even after last season. Right. You know, because you talk about a team that, yes, they lost in the first round of the playoffs to the Heat. Well, the Heat beat everybody and went to the Eastern Conference Finals, so that, you know, and then you part ways with Mike Budenholzer, and then you hire Adrian Griffin, and then, to me, that was just bizarre. It showed to me, it's like, you know, here's an organization that kind of prided itself on being stable over the last five, right. 6 years. Right. And then you fire your brand new coach, bring in Doc Rivers, and, you know, Doc Rivers is a nice guy and everything, but it just seems like it almost felt rushed. Like they were rushing into things when you normally try to be patient. You look at somebody like Denver or Miami, they've had the same coach now, Denver, for I think 8-9 years, and Michael Malone. And there was a time fans were begging for, you know, them to fire him. But I think there's something to be said for stability. And it just seems like Milwaukee has been a very unstable situation just over the last, you know, 9 months or so or year. And I don't know if that impacts the players. Now, obviously, they've, you know, when they brought in Damian Lillard and you got rid of Drew Holiday, who's now with the Celtics, you're talking about a guy who won a championship, not a super duper star, but a really good defender, sets everybody else up. Sometimes it's not about having the superstars. Obviously, it's about having the fit. And you know, I just think that they made some changes that seem like maybe it's looking like it. They might just be changes for the sake of change, as opposed to really getting to another level, because they're not. If I'm the Bucks, other than the players, I probably don't have a whole lot of more confidence than I had last year when they lost to Miami in the first round, and you made all these changes when sometimes it's better just to stay the course and you know, let this group be motivated together. Well, you know, obviously great player in Antetokounmpo and really good in Middleton and Lopez, but has not been clicking. I always told, you know, a couple Cavs fans would send me emails or direct messages or something about, you know, what's going on with this team, and they'd be angry, and I'd say, hey, just be thankful you're not a Bucks fan. Look at them since the All-Star break. So yeah, it's a real interesting situation there, and it's going to be real. I wouldn't be stunned to see them lose in the first round again.
Well, you mentioned, and I said it was the last question, but it's not. So just one last
show, I'll do what I want. Mean,
you know, you mentioned, you alluded to it, Cavs match up well with the Celtics. Just in your opinion, can anybody get past the Celtics in the East right now, in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, not to show any sort of disrespect for what they did during the regular season, but I just don't think that there's that fear, you know, like you had in the 2016 or 2017 Cavs and the 2016 or 2017 Warriors. Back then, you know, you pretty much knew those two teams were going to the finals, or back in the early 80s when it was the Celtics and the Lakers. You know, I don't think Boston is that kind of favorite. I can tell you this, if I'm the Celtics, I do not want to be seeing the Miami Heat as the number 8 seed in the first round of the playoffs. Right. You know, I don't want to see Philadelphia 76ers with a healthy Joel Embiid as my first round opponent. You know, that's less than ideal. So I think that, yeah, they're obviously the favorites, but, and maybe it's just me, I just don't see them as a team that, they seem beatable, you know, they in a 7-game series. And maybe that's just because they've, you know, this group with Brown and Tatum as their star players has only been to the finals once. They had home court advantage in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, lost the first 3 games, won the next 3, brought it back to Boston for game 7 and lost at home. So I just think that there's that kind of stigma with them. But yeah, I think that a lot of people feel, as good of a season as Boston had, that the East is pretty wide open again.
Yeah. Well, let's switch it over to the Western side. Aaron, you got any questions on the Western Conference? I mean, first of all, we'll just get it out of the way. I think if you can find the one guy that would have picked Oklahoma City Thunder he's the number one seed in the Western Conference before the season started, he'd be a wealthy man right now, for sure.
That's right. Yeah.
Who would have saw that coming?
Yeah.
It sure wasn't me. I can tell you that much. And, you know, it's interesting because the West, you have your big names in terms of the Lakers and the Warriors, you know, for the past decade, and especially since LeBron's gone to LA, those are the teams that are really most discussed. But if you look going back to last season, you know, the Denver Nuggets, I don't even think 2 weeks before the finals, you would have found anybody to pick the Nuggets to be the champions last year. So, you know, I think that's good for the NBA in that you do have this type of parity that's really kind of keeps fans guessing on the edge of their seats. But yeah, you know, the Thunder, when you talk about that, really start with them. Here's a team that I don't even know that they thought they would win the Western Conference this year. Just that there's an example of a young team that's just a really got a lot of pieces that fit. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has, you know, he was first team all NBA last year. I think he was better player this year. And I think the one thing that he kind of your all-star sets the tone, your best player. And he's got a really strong personality, real good guy, real professional at all times, works very hard, has a reputation for working very hard and just being kind of that quiet leader in the locker room. And I think that, you know, them getting Chet Holmgren, who they didn't have last year because of the injury, has really helped take them to another level. Jalen Williams, both Jalen Williams, but the one who starts particularly is having a career season. So I think that you just add all those pieces, and you know, you had a no name coach who came out of nowhere that when they hired him, everybody's like, what are they just trying to save money? Well, you know, here he's really been a good fit there. And it's just been so much about fit. And the one thing about the Thunder, guys, is they have like 12 first-round picks coming up over the next 2-3 years. So, yeah.
Nobody's laughing at them now, right?
Right.
They look like geniuses. But going to Chet Holmgren, I mean, obviously the guy's turned out to be a phenomenal player. And I know Wimby's been kind of the heir, whatever, going to be, you know, the rookie of the – but – How can you not give a Rookie of the Year award to a rookie in their team's first in the Western Conference? I mean, from my perspective, and I'm a former player, I'm all about winning and this and that. I mean, to me, if Wimby gets the Rookie of the Year over Holmgren, and I'm not even looking at numbers. I'm not looking at anything other than who affected winning. And there's no question between them. There's no question between them. Now, you know, I mean, Holmgren's got better players around him, you know, give it that. But even still, it's pretty incredible what that kid's done. I don't know your thoughts as far as the Rookie of the Year stuff are going, but I'm like, it's going to be pretty hard for people to pass on him just to kind of go with kind of the the golden child that's been kind of presented to everybody as the next great thing.
Right. Well, and sometimes to kind of keep the narrative going that – you know, this is the golden child, and Wembanyama is a fantastic young player. And you're right, when he gets players around him, who knows what he's going to be able to do. But really, you know, to me, you look at where was the Oklahoma City Thunder last year, and then you add one player who's a rookie, and look where they finished. To me, that's I agree with you, Mark. To me, it's I think that you've. And so often, you know, you talk about NBA MVP,
right?
Those guys often come from teams that are in the top two or three in their conference, you know? Right. So, yeah, to me, Holmgren made a huge difference. Whereas Wembanyama made, he was a fine individual player. And I mean, let's face it, he was for the most part playing with guys who are one step above the G League right now. They're very young, but yeah, you know, you look at San Antonio's season, which was one of the four worst teams in the league, versus a team with that's had success, and his numbers and his play have been at least equal to Wembanyama's. So, but you know how it goes. There's so much is based on kind of this guy was the number one pick, and this is the narrative that we have, and you know, there's a lot that goes into it. So I don't know who's going to who's going to end up winning, but I certainly think that Holmgren deserves it by a whisker anyway.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Aaron, what you got, man?
So I have one loaded question, and that is, you've been around this team. The question that I really have for you is, can this team figure it out? Regardless of who their opponent's going to be, regardless of what seed they are, do you think that this team, given the distractions and everything else we've mentioned, can put this thing together and make a run?
Yeah, you know, I think it's possible because we saw what they did in January, right? When 17 of 18 to start the new year, the ball was really moving. They were really defending. And I think that, you know, now that part of that was a situational thing where the schedule was probably a little bit easier. But you also beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee, which at the time was a pretty big deal because Milwaukee was really rolling. You know, and for them, it's really, how much did they learn from the playoffs last season? How motivated are they? They seem very motivated to go in there and show that, yeah, we're not going to be pushed around like we were last year. Donovan Mitchell, that game against the Pacers and the game before that, but especially the game against the Pacers, looks like he's all the way healthy again. Certainly was moving very well, had huge games, big plays, you know, looked like his old self. Even JB Bickerstaff said he's back to the Donovan that we all know. And I think that can carry them a long way. I think he's poised for a big series against a younger team. You know, last year, the Knicks, every time he got the ball, would just blitz him. They removed him from the series. I don't know that even if Orlando tried that they have the pieces to do that, take him out of the series. So I think that, yeah, as long as the one thing we learned about this team is if he's going and he's got it going, they've got a good shot. You know, when they won 17-18, Darius Garland was out. So they were primarily, Donovan was playing point guard or at least the main facilitator. And I thought the offense was running extremely well then. And, you know, the numbers show that it was. Donovan Mitchell had career highs and assists and all that. So I saw against Indiana, they kind of used him as the dominant point, is the dominant guard, the ball handling, facilitating guard, and moved Darius over to the two, and they mixed it up. And I thought that worked very well. So offensively, they're not going to have trouble scoring points. You know, they hang their hat on defense, and that is what kind of slipped since the All-Star break. And they couldn't really figure it out, but it might have just been kind of that, you know, the length of the season, 82 games, the injuries to Donovan and Evan Mobley was in and out of the lineup. So I think that, yeah, they're plenty motivated. Talking to Jared Allen yesterday, you know, one of the nicest guys in the world, and he's ready to put on his hard hat. He knows what the narrative is, how he said the lights were too bright. Somebody asked him about that. He laughed, but he knows what that is, that the narrative is, and they know that they need to be more physical. And I think that last year's experience of being out physical and a lot of them getting their first taste of playoff basketball, other than Mitchell, you know, Garland was a playoff rookie, Mobley was a playoff rookie, Okoro, playoff rookie, Allen and LeVert barely had any time in the playoffs. So I think that those things that they've gotten that experience will really help. I think Max Strus, who played in the finals last year, is really going to help in terms of, you know, just kind of the mentality and the approach. I assure you that having Tristan Thompson back will do the same. You know, what's funny, guys, is when I was at practice one day and Tristan was suspended, and then when he came back, they were all saying how much they really missed him. And I was like, really missed Tristan? I mean, he hardly plays, but it's what they contribute, you know, in terms of leadership. I think signing Marcus Morris was a big help for them in that area. So, and George Niang, who's played a lot of big playoff games with the Sixers. So I think that there's reasons to believe, Aaron, even though it took me about 25 minutes to answer your question, yes, they could potentially pull it together. And I think they really need to. I think that they need to give themselves a series against Orlando to say, look, we can play at least close to the way we were playing in January, and now maybe we can go places.
Love it. We have had a longer episode today because we had our first guest came on talking about the tournament challenge and then time with you. But I always do want to make sure we have our faith segment. And this is actually going to be a pretty good tie-in. And that is in Philippians, where it talks about do not be anxious about anything. So I know a lot of Cavs fans are probably anxious right now. Can we get past the first round? And this is probably a bad tie-in. But I just wanted to ask you guys both, you know, over and over and over, Scripture tells us to have peace, to not worry, to not be anxious about things. Look at the birds, you know, all the different, there's so many verses that we can use here. But I want to ask both of you as men of faith, where do you go? Like, what do you lean into from Scripture when there's times and storms that come, or there's a moment coming up like the playoffs for the Cavs, for example, for those guys? Mark, as a former player, when there was something coming up that you would have a tendency to be anxious about, where do both of you go when it comes to your faith? Sam, we'll start with you, and then Mark, do you want to, you can finish up after?
Sure.
Yeah, I won't take too much time, but it's funny that you mentioned it, because I knew Friday night that I would probably talk about this today on the podcast. I was driving home from the Cavs game, you know, and it's Friday probably at this point in time. I get done writing my story 11:30, 12 midnight-ish, and I'm driving home and I'm going past Cuyahoga Falls where I grew up. And I thought, yeah, I'm just going to drive past my old house. Hadn't seen it in a while, the house that I grew up in and in Cuyahoga Falls, and drove past it. And I just slowed down as I went past it, you know, past my old bedroom window. And I remember thinking, what would you tell that kid in there today, you know, about where you are now? Yeah. You know, what's transpired since I became a Christian at really 15 years old. And I thought, you know, what are you going to tell him? What are you going to say? You know, because then I'm pretty sure I still had dreams of playing in the NBA. And if not playing, then at least coaching, you know. And I would tell that kid, you know, look, you've been blessed, because to me, I've really got the easiest job when it comes to people who are involved in the NBA. All I have to do is spout off opinions about it. You know, I'm not losing any hair by coaching. I didn't have to go through the rigors of practice every day. Yeah. But, you know, I think that anytime you hit 50, you know, you look back and it's like, yeah, there's going to be some storms here, buddy. And, you know, always be sure to lean on God, and you know, that's not going to say that he's going to erase it, but it's going to be help you get through it. And, you know, I don't know if this makes any sense, but that night, just coming home from an NBA game, to me really led to a lot of prayer, or really, you know, driving past my house on a Friday night at midnight, knowing everybody else in my home was asleep and I could take my time. And, you know, so I think it really just helped me reflect on, yeah, there's going to be, I just thought for the first time in my life, what would I tell that 15-year-old kid about what the future holds? I'd want to hug him, really, and just say, look, it's going to be okay. There's going to be some tough times, but always remember, and I didn't always, but always remember that, you know, it's just like the poem Footprints, where God's carrying you through those times when you're thinking that he's far away. You know, never give that up. Never give up your faith or turn away from God, because it's always beneficial. And when you walk that walk, as much as those storms come, as long as you have that faith, to me, you're always going to be okay. You know, you know, it's always part of God's plan and God's work in your life, and as difficult as things can get. So anyway, long story there, but I always turn toward kind of just find some peace in the Lord when I try to do that every day. You know, I'm not always talking to 15-year-old Sam, but I think it's important to me that I take, because, you know, I'm doing the website all day, but, you know, running the business end of it and, you know, trying to cover everything and get everything on the site, and as well as obviously, as we all do, managing your family and children. I know it's probably a little easier for Mark now that they're all moved out, but, you know, I still have them around. So it's still like managing a business here and, you know, trying to do all that. And every day I just try and say, you know what, take those 15 minutes, half hour, and just, as you said, Aaron, look at the flowers, smell the flowers, enjoy God's work, be thankful for everything that he's doing in my life, as well as the life of my children. And, you know, so I guess that that's really kind of my own experiences. I just try and do that every 15, 20 minutes, or every day, 15, 20 minutes at the very least, just sit out on the back porch, have a cup of coffee and reflect and be with God. And really, you know, guys, I'll be honest, probably up until about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I didn't make that extra effort, you know, and that's, I just think it's a big, as far as anxiety goes and worry, it pretty much erases it for the most part. If you just take that time and, as the Bible will tell us, be still. So, you know, I try to do that. So my family will tell you that they never see it, but they're all in bed and I do manage sometimes.
Mark, how about you?
Well, the worry, anxiety, to me, it's, there's two elements to it for me. One is always when there's worry or when there's anxiety, there's a lack of faith. Mm. I mean, you either choose faith or you choose to worry. You know, if I'm worrying, that means I'm not trusting God, right? Not really. I can say I do, but if I have all this worry and anxiety, I don't really think he's going to meet my needs, right? Mm. I mean, that's really what the bottom line of that is. And so, you know, the scriptures are just full of, you know, cast all your cares upon, you know, him, because he cares for you. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough of its own. You know, I mean, this, you know, we can't, he is worthy of our trust. He's worthy. I mean, and the second prong of that is, you know, don't be forgetful, right? I think we as human beings, and you read it all through the Old Testament, right? When you study scriptures of what he did for, you know, Israel, and yet the next week, I mean, here he is opening the Red Sea. It allows them to cross, escape slavery. And the next week they're complaining that they don't have enough food to eat. You know, I mean, it's like, you're like, how could they possibly forget? I mean, forget that they just crossed the, you know, crossed the Red Sea, right? The miracle that they just witnessed that God provided for them. How, and yet we look at our own lives, and I mean, we know the things God's done for us throughout our lives or for our family, or we've seen it, and yet we forget so quickly. And that's why it's important. I love the, you know, we have God's written word, but like in the Old Testament, you know, when they were, they would have to read the scriptures to their, you know, what scriptures that they had would have to read it to their children. And there's, you know, there's also, you know, scriptures that talk about reading, you know, constantly be sharing, you know, this is what our father, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob did. And this is, you know, what David did. And this is what, you know, and we've had those same things. Hey, this is, I've seen what God did for my father, and I've seen that he brought our family through this. Remind ourselves of those things, right? Don't be forgetful of how good God has been there and has always been there for us. Because when we get in the midst of a current struggle, it's easy to forget, right? Like we focus on the problem rather than focusing on how big our God is, right? And that's to Sam's point of taking that time to just stop and just thank God, be thankful, have a thankful heart, a thankful spirit. And it's amazing how the anxiety will go away, you know, when you realize that, you know, he has me in the palm of his hand, as the scripture talks about. And if I believe that, if I really believe that, what am I going to worry about?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, but it shows the growth that we continually have to have, because we do forget,
yeah,
you know, and we still worry. And knowing all that and encouraging one another, even, you know, to encourage you, Aaron, if you're going through some, hey, Aaron, you remember when God got you out of this?
That's right.
You're like, Oh yeah. He's trustworthy. You know, I can trust him even when we can't see it in the midst of a difficult situation.
Yeah, that's the only other thing I would say is you had a perfect tie in there is, you know, I'm looking at two guys that I respect so much and their faith. And, you know, and that's so important. I feel like we talk about this every week. We mention it every week, but it's so important to have brothers and teammates or sisters, you know, if we have female listeners that you can call on and say, hey, I'm going through it right now. You know, it's almost like us with our kids. I know we're dads. When you say, hey, this is how this is going to go, you know, and they don't believe you. They don't want to listen to what you have to say. And then it goes exactly how you told them it was going to go. Why? Because you've been through it. You've seen it, like you've lived it. And then they say, okay. And then they gain their experience that way. But it's important to have people in our lives that we can lean on and then to listen to them. Like we've said before, then to listen. So I can call Mark or Sam and say, hey, I'm going through this. I can get your wisdom. But if I don't do anything with it, what good was, you know, I have to then listen to what you have to say. And also, like you said, lean into what God has to say and then trust those pieces. That's why he gave them to us. Because like you said, Mark, we don't always see it, but we have the elements that we need to find wisdom, to not be anxious. But I'm probably one of the worst people in the world at that. So I'm thankful for both of you. And, you know, just even the talk today to just help you remind me that's how you don't worry, you know, cast all your cares on him. Anyway, good stuff today. And I hate to cut it short, but man, it's longer episode. We've put a lot into this episode. Sam, thank you once again for coming back. We'll have to do this again, hopefully in the second round of the playoffs, the third round and all the way to the finals. Let's just say that with the Cavs as we follow the journey. All right.
Well thank you for having me.
Yep.
I'm sure that every episode I'm on is one of the longer episodes because I like to talk. So,
well, we're glad you talk for sure.
Just quick. You only got 2 seconds. You can't think about it. Who gets out of the East? Who gets out of the West? Aaron.
You caught me off guard. Sam, you go first. You're closer to it.
Well, I already had to make this pick yesterday on my own podcast, so I'm going to just stick with it. I picked the Nuggets and the 76ers.
Wow.
How about that? Something different.
I like that. I thought I had confidence in the Celtics until Sam kind of I listened to what you said, Sam. So I don't know about the Celtics now. I don't. I'm going to go Nuggets because they've just been there before and they're just, I think they are the cream of the crop. I'm going to go Heat. I'll go Heat. Just trust
there you
them.
Go.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know who's on the Heat.
All right. I'm going to go with, even though they're beatable. I'm going to go with the Celtics. They've been the best all year in the East, and all roads lead through Denver for sure in the West. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll talk again, Aaron, next week and kind of see first game or two, how the Cavs do. It'd be nice for them to get off to a good start for sure.
For sure. All right. This has been episode 76 for Mark, for Sam, for Joe, our winner in the contest. I'm Aaron, and we will be back again with you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Mark Price for Three podcast. Remember to subscribe, like, review, and share. I'm Josh Price, and we will talk to you again on the next episode.
You don't have to go very far looking for bad news because somehow it just finds you. So finding peace in the chaos can be really difficult, but it doesn't have to be because the River mobile app exists. The River is a Christian music radio station dedicated to playing music to help you get through life's toughest moments or life's happiest moments and everywhere in between. And all from artists who love Jesus and are real people just like you. Listening is easy. You can download it wherever you get apps from. Just search 1049 The River or listen online at riverradio.com.